the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Goodwill to the people of this land.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have an election now. Really looks beautiful.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
And this is Ted Hicks from Late Night Parents. Ways to follow the show is latenightparents.com. Coming with, we're going to try to do this regularly now. During an in-week podcast, I think my batteries are charged. As I said before, ways to follow the show is latenightparents.com. You'll find the latest blogs, wikis, YouTube videos, and the feeds from all various social media outlets that you go to. But you'll definitely find the latest pods. So in the queue, we've got good friend Danny Thompson, who joins us. Danny, I think you've been, when we talk pods, I talk mainly with you and my good friend Sean Armour. And we talk about two entirely different genres. You, we usually talk parenting and sports, and with my good friend Sean Armour, we talk totally politics, and we get down to that Trump derangement syndrome and Dems and what the Republicans are doing, and I'm sure we're going to be talking a little bit of impeachment-type stuff, inquiries this week, but it's always a good feeling to have you in the queue. How you doing, bro?
Bro, it's always a pleasure being on Late Night. You know, I love being on this pod. It's like it's probably one of my one or two favorite podcasts to jump on because, you know, it's a continuation of what we do on a regular basis anyway.
I know. It doesn't feel like a big buildup. And it was funny because earlier today we were talking because I know you're super busy, super duper busy with work, with, of course, being a dad. And everything else that has you, you know, you're being pulled 20 different ways. But the great thing about it is whenever I have you on the pod, I get the clicks. So there's a little, this is kind of two-sided. I love speaking with you through a pod, but when I get to put the name Danny Thompson, basketball insider, website creator, beat writer, blogger, journalist, you know, Orlando Magic insider. I do get the clicks. But, dude, you're always super busy. Before we get into anything, dude, tell me about the radio show.
Beyond the Buzzer, Saturdays on 98.5 The Wire out here in Orlando. It is a local sports show with a national feel to it because we are a 98.5 The Wire, which was voted by Orlando Magazine as the best FM, the best radio station in Orlando, actually, for 2019. It's a local community station out here in Orlando, so we kind of do a sports show that's from a three-pronged perspective. We talk community first, which is the local high schools. There's three high schools in the vicinity of the listenership. And then we start talking everything Orlando, and then we touch everything national. And we have guests on every week. We have giveaways. And we do everything in 55 minutes. So we go over the entire week of sports, all three of those aspects in 55 minutes. And myself, Paul Myers, we do this every week. That is the weekly radio show Saturdays, 11 a.m., 98.5 The Wire. Also, you can listen to on the TuneIn app and also 98.5 The Wire app or watch it on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay. Okay. So tell me about the involvement with the community. Tell me, since you've been on, how have either you embraced the community or they've reached out to you, whether it's like local groups or local restaurants or like give me the overall connection to when you're doing the show so that someone in the local neighborhood, because I think that's so important when you're on community radio, where you can reach out and you can make that impact. You know, everyone wants a national feel, but it's knowing that, hey, I can go on such and such street, or I can go on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and there's going to be an art event, or there's going to be like a book fair, or there's going to be, you know, like with when I was down there, it wasn't World Cup, but MLS was getting ready to start, and the Magic was wrapping up. So give us your take on the feel, the local feel of having a radio show, having it embraced, you know, like who you worked with and stuff like that.
As the show is growing, especially with a lot of the high schools, there's three high schools in the listening area. One of our major partners is a local barbershop called Mentality. Big shout out to the guys at Mentality. It's right in the middle of Pine Hills, which is the area that the station is located at. It's right next to Jones High School, right next to Evans High School. Like, literally one of the schools that we talk about is literally within walking distance of the barbershop. So we're really, really in the heart of the community. And as the show is expanding, you know, people are starting to say, oh, so you're the guy that talks about, or you're the show that talks about, you know, Jones and Evans and Lakaiva. Yeah, we're that show. And it's like, you know, it's so good for somebody to actually talk about it. And really the show, Ted, to be honest with you, this concept came from the station manager and I having a conversation last year. And he was saying that Edgewater, which is one of the local high schools out here, and actually one of the high schools in the area, made the state tournament and won the state championship in basketball. And there was no media coverage.
Mm.
From a team from Orlando winning the state championship, that was an hour away.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that it's a predominantly African American high school. Okay. And there was no coverage, not even from the local media, not from the Sentinel, you know, just a little small Ted, like a little paragraph. A group of kids that won the state championship in basketball, and the principal reached out to the station manager and was saying, you know, we wish there was some kind of coverage there. And that's where the partnership started. And we're starting to expand. We're starting to grow. We're in talks of doing a local high school basketball game of the week when basketball season starts on the top of October, November, that we're going to be broadcasting on Friday nights on the radio station, like maybe one game a month. And we'll travel around, and it'll be one of the games in the community. So that way, I think we're going to do the girls' game and the boys' game. And really, it's just getting people to know about the young kids in the community because, Ted, the future stars that are going to be at the University of Florida or UCF or Miami or Florida State, and the guys you'll see, the guys and the girls that play professional sports in the future come from local neighborhoods. And they are just as much as star power as the people we see play for the Magic or Orlando City or the Pride. You know, they're just as big as they are because they're going to be the future stars of the future. And so if you're able to help a kid get exposed in a positive manner, you know, get some positive things going on in the community, you know, you never know where this can lead to. And what we've also done is that we partnered with the Orlando Storm tennis team, and we sent kids at the end of the season down to a free tennis camp. And then there was a huge turnout, especially for the African-American community, because I was out there. And, Ted, I mean, there was where the U.S. Tennis Center is, it's, you know, it's a beautiful facility, beautiful, gorgeous facility. And it's about 45 minutes to an hour away from, you know, where the station is centered at. And out of 150 kids, Ted, at least 85 to 90 of those kids were African-American.
You know, and it's stuff like that where, you know, we all were joking around during the U.S. Open talking about Black Girl Magic, but there's something about when a sport that hasn't totally been embraced by the community or by, you know, a specific ethnic background, you know, when they're finally introduced. And I'll stop because I'm not doing it justice. I'll just say, when there's a hockey tournament or there's a lacrosse tournament.
Yep.
And, you know, I'd say, but, you know, at least in my experience in Long Island, there aren't a lot of African-Americans exposed to those type of sports. So
that's
I
correct.
Can understand when you're talking about tennis and these different, like, when you're looking at a young kid who's in the inner city, they're looking, they're talking about their jump shot or they're talking about playing football.
Yep.
And if they can't do either one of them, that's when that kind of that dream stops. And it shouldn't have to stop because there's so many different sports out there. And it's just good when I hear that what you're doing in the community, what you're doing with the local high schools, we needed to shine a light on it. Because when you do great stuff like this, let me tell you, if you don't promote yourself, Danny, no one else will.
No.
Because if you're sitting around, and a lot of people will say, well, I'm not doing it for self-promotion. You're doing it so you can get the word out so that other people can get in and help out. And then they can find their spot and find their niche and find out how they're going to extend, you know, what goes on. Because I just remember I was having a conversation with some young lady. I was in Massapequa, Long Island, because there was a practice going on, a football practice. And the young lady was telling me about a couple of the kids on the football team, and they haven't left the block. That was the reference that was made.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't left the block. They haven't left the neighborhood. So all they know is that, you know, the 7 or 10 mile radius in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's all they know. So the key to it is exposure. The key to it is getting our kids out there, getting them out there swimming. You know, there's so many different free programs. And, you know, the good thing is I've listened to your show. I listened to you and your co-hosts. And, yes, you talk national. But it's good when you guys talk local sports. And this is, you know, enlightening us, everyone who doesn't live in that neighborhood or is familiar to that. And it kind of, you're painting a picture for us. And we can kind of sit there, and as you guys are explaining it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of like my neighborhood. Or this is kind of like, you can plug in the name of the neighborhood. But it's kind of like, it's like that all across America. So wanted to definitely commend you on that, on the high school sports and just working with the kids and working with the individual businesses out there, because, I mean, we all know it's hard.
Yeah, hard. It's a lot of challenges, especially with, you know, public radio, because, you know, everything is, you know, it's one of the most important things about it is that you can't advertise. So a lot of times, you know, and Ted, you know, we're in a little different platforms, but like the main thing is really just about, hey, stop by this place or stop by that place. You know, it's free. I mean, I don't want to say it's the word free advertisement, but a lot of times, you know, we'll talk about a certain place in the area, go check them out, you know, right. And you know, they'll, you know, the Bike Mentality Barbershop, they've had people, they listen to the show every week in the shop. And, you know, as barbershops go, you know, that just starts conversation. Like, you know, we, you know, during the off season, we had the question of the week, and the question of the week actually came from people inside the shop. It came from the barbers. It came from the customers. That way, when they're getting their hair cut on Saturday, it's one big discussion. And the more we get into this, and like I said, the more we get more of the community involved in it, and like I said, the more that we do, I think the growth of this will go even further. And Ted, to your point, it's not about what it does for me, because it's about, you know, the kid that might not have that exposure that turns from a regular person, you know, catching passes or doing something else to being that elite prospect, or that girls basketball player nobody knows about that finally gets the chance or shine, and she's going to UConn. You never know what turns out. And like you said, it's getting people out of the neighborhood, but at the same time, it's getting people to look into the neighborhood and say, you know what, there's talent everywhere. And they just need a voice and somebody to speak for them. And, you know, I enjoy a part of that every single Saturday.
That's some good stuff right there. I will tell you that much. And like I said, you should be commended on that. So we've done our PSA. We've promoted 98.5 The Wire, Beyond the Buzzer. And I like to call it Danny Thompson and Friends. I know you don't like but I know you do a lot, and you have your hands in a lot. And the thing is, you don't do anything with you. You don't do anything half-ass. I could definitely say that. We'll shoot through a couple of quick topics, and then we'll get you on out of here, and we'll call this pod recorded. I'll jet around here. I won't ask you about the show Power, because I know you were watching it the first couple of seasons and then you stopped watching it. So I'll leave that question for another time. Well, I'll just put it out this way. What shows are you binging, or what shows are you watching on TV?
The last show I watched seriously on television. Wow. Let's see. The last show I watched on television, to be honest with you, that I literally sat down and watched season for season. Man. Ted, actually, you know, for me, with being such a busy schedule, I'd say the last show I probably watched was, you put me on the spot on this one.
I know you had mentioned offline that you weren't a Power fan, but you had watched Empire.
I mean, I watched Empire for a while, and then it kind of went off-center. The last show I literally had to actually binge-watch all the way through was Game of Thrones, actually. You know, with covering as many teams as I do and things I do outside, TV is the last thing. If I'm watching TV, it's either something sports-related or something with my kids. Now, you know, if we're talking Disney movies, I'm all for it. TV shows, you know, I don't really watch, but I really watch TV in the summertime, so I catch up during the summer.
All right. So, since you mentioned kids and you mentioned Disney, next month, are you in on Disney Plus? What's your take on that?
I'm getting it. I just want to see how much I'm going to enjoy it and how much I'm going to like it. So I'm going to give it the free shot. And see what I really think about it. I'm excited because anytime you have a lot of the vault material in there,
yes,
it makes it worth it. Like if it unlocks the vault, like I'm thinking it's going to, then I'm all for it.
Right. Anytime you have catalogs, anytime you have, like you said, the best of Pixar, Star Wars, Nat Geo, you name it, Avatar, how can you go wrong? And, of course, the crown jewel, Marvel. I don't think you can go wrong with that. Like I said, I'm not knocking you on getting the trial, kicking the tires on it, and then taking it from there.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I think that, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, that it's the right fit. And I want to make sure my daughter enjoys it. You know, we've seen so many of the Disney movies, so I want to make sure she's going to enjoy it before I continue to pay for it. I mean, there's the great services on there. And for me, if I do keep it, I'm really intrigued about the Marvel series because all of them will go into phase four of Marvel. I'm not big on Star Wars, but I guess I'm huge to Marvel, so I really want to see what they're going to do with, like, you know, the Falcon show, what they're going to do with, you know, Immortals and the rest of the series. So I'm really kind of intrigued by that, too.
And this is Ted Hicks from Late Night Parents. Ways to follow the show, latenightparents.com. We're speaking with Danny Thompson from Beyond the Buzzer. So, Danny, I want to ask you about, a lot of people would say the best GM in the league. Seems like he put his foot in his mouth virtually by making a comment. Daryl Morey, he's been rebuked by his own owner. Joe Tsai, the owner, the majority owner of the Nets, has come in, and this comes from a tweet that he sent out about supporting Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the beginning of the end for Daryl Morey? Are we ready to put the toe tag on him?
The thing with that is that it's a touchy subject. The one thing that Daryl Morey, a lot of people have to say about China is that, the Hong Kong situation is, they want to show their support, and there's nothing wrong with that. The difference is that in American culture compared to other places around the world, you have the ability to say what you would like, and there's a freedom of speech. And other places, it doesn't go that way. And not to say Daryl Morey was right, not to say he was wrong, but he made his comments. The bad part was there's backlash behind it. And there's a huge financial backlash, especially with the Houston Rockets in the country of China. Everybody knows the Rockets have been China's team since Yao Ming was playing, and they had a great relationship with them. And now the Chinese government has blackballed everything Houston Rockets, will probably blackball everything NBA going forward. It's really one of those things. Should he lose his job? I don't think he should lose your job over something you believe in. I don't think he committed a crime. I think he just spoke his mind. And the problem was he spoke his mind at a time where your team is over there. They're over in China now. If you're going to make those comments, you might have wanted to wait until you got back home. But I don't think he should get the toe tag for it. But if he does, I understand, because that is a humongous financial loss for the Rockets and a potential humongous financial windfall for the NBA. But it was good to see Adam Silver stick behind his GM, one of his GMs today when he made a statement, that we support Daryl Morey in whatever he says. So, because it's freedom of speech. It's just treated differently in every country.
Okay. I still think, as much as we're supportive of him, it's all about the money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ted, the financial windfall behind it is just – it's extreme. I don't think Silver Furtado kind of understood. But, you never know a financial windfall until it comes out of your pocket and what you're going to lose. And, you saw that now the Rockets might being offered a league pass in China going forward. They've been removed. And people who have already subscribed have been given two options. Either A, you can get a refund, or B, you can change your team. They've canceled the G League team going over there playing exhibition games. They have done a lot. And the Rockets are no longer welcome, and Yao Ming had to break the relationship with the Rockets. And, if he decides to apologize, since he apologized, there's still the damage has been done at this point.
Wow. All right. Well, like I said, we will keep our eyes open on this, and we'll follow the money on it. Tell me about the tomfoolery or the buffoonery of Shaq versus Dame.
I mean, one good thing we get to about this is that they've woken Shaq's ability to rap again. I mean, this generation now gets a chance to see. Shaq was, Ted, when we were going through, Ted, Shaq had skills.
Right.
You got to think, Shaq was on a track with Biggie at one point. Well, you can't stop the rain. And that verse he had on the track with Biggie was amazing. And now Dame Lillard has awoken the beast. And Shaq has come out literally in these different verses and have come out and just squashed Dame Dollar. Now, Damian Lillard can freestyle. I love Damian Lillard's rap game, but he's come a little short here. I mean, literally. Shaq is 7 foot tall, but he's come up short in the situation. So I find it very entertaining. The line Shaq, I think, had today said, I can't stand you or Charles Barkley, which I thought was probably one of the funniest statements that possible. I mean, if you're looking for something entertaining, the verse battles have been really good. And I'm not saying Jay-Z and Nas, you know, ether quality or the takeover quality, but hey, it's not the bridge is over. It's not second round knockout by Cannabis or no Vaseline by Ice Cube. But it's pretty solid for two basketball players going back and forth. It could only be Kobe rapping.
So is your feeling on this? There's a little bit of ghostwriting happening, or are these rappers actually?
Shaq's always been a rapper for years, and Dame's always been a rapper. Dame is one of the few guys in the league. When he steps on the microphone, I know it's something he's written. There's a couple of guys in the league himself, Marvin Bagley, even Amon Shumpert. Those guys have rapped before, and they have lyrical skills. Marvin Bagley is so underrated. People don't even understand how good Marvin Bagley is. But I don't think nothing's being ghostwritten. Shaq has always been good with punchlines anyway. So I think all this is not scripted. It's not staged. I think these two guys are just going to go at it. It's going to be real funny when they see each other during the season.
So tell me, Danny, on your playlist, tell me, I will say, your top three songs on your current playlist that are getting the most burn from you.
The most burn right now, for me, number one is Since He's From My Hometown. I don't really listen to too much newer rappers, but he's from my hometown, from my neck of the woods, from my same area. My boy, the baby, representing Charlotte. You know, he's the number one album in the country. You know, big shouts to Southeast Music and everybody else out there. I've been listening to Baby, you know, being from Charlotte. So to see somebody from my hometown as the number one artist in the country right now, of course, that's in my playlist right now. And his new album is just completely it's a beautiful album, especially because it's well written, well put together, well produced. That's one. Be honest with you, what else is in my playlist get a lot of burn? Actually, Lizzo's album is in my playlist, and it's been in my playlist for almost a year now, and it's been a heavy rotation, and I'll be honest with you, the last thing that's in my playlist that I've really been playing a lot of, and Ted, you're probably going to laugh at me, is that I've been playing a lot of the Wu-Tang in the 36 Chambers.
Really?
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why. In my rotation for the last like 6 weeks, but
have you been watching a Hulu series?
You know what though, I've been meaning to get to it, but I've heard so many hit and miss things about it.
I
don't want to, as much as I love the Wu, I'm just a lot of my friends and are diehard Wu fans. They were really disappointed, so I think I'm going to hold off on it just so that I won't get that disappointment. But yeah, I think because, you know, it's money, it's go time for us, especially for myself, because everything is starting to kick off with the NBA and you're in the NFL season, and you know, high school sports are starting to pick up. It's, you know, it's cream, you know, dollar bill, y'all.
So, dude, let's talk a little fantasy, NFL fantasy, fantasy football.
Yes, sir.
Currently, right now, I am 3-2. I was able to scrape out a win. I'm going to tell you, you've told me from all along, I was on the Lamar Jackson hype train, and I had Matty Ice sitting on my bench. And I've been watching each and every week Matty Ice, for the most part, balling out. Tell me some hits in your mind, some hits and some major misses so far this year through the first 5 weeks of fantasy football.
Well, the biggest hit is any quarterback playing against the Atlanta Falcons secondary. Any quarterback that has played the Falcons has seemed to put up huge fantasy numbers, with the exception of Carson Wentz. Carson put 470. Yesterday, and five touchdowns. And Will Fuller had the game of his life. The week before, Marcus Mariota looked like Aaron Rodgers, but he was hitting every single pass on the outside corners. I think one of the biggest surprises anybody has played against the Falcons have been completely just obliterating them. Another big surprise actually has been Jameis Winston in Tampa. The numbers he's putting up out there, he's putting up. He's not playing the Jameis of old. In his last three games, Jameis has he's thrown was it 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his last 3 games.
Wow.
I mean, that's been a huge story. Tampa is in the division race, but you know he's putting up big numbers. And Ted, to be honest with you, the best player in football right now is in that division, but it's not a quarterback. I think it's Christian McCaffrey of the Panthers.
Ah, okay.
I mean, they say run CMC, but what has Christian McCaffrey not done for the Panthers? I mean, a team that's not having Cam Newton. They're playing really, really good football, but, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, yesterday, Ted, was it 19 for 176? He ran for 2 touchdowns, caught another one. He leads the NFL in rushing. He's right up there in receiving yards. I mean, the guy didn't make the Pro Bowl last year is playing with the biggest chip on his shoulder this year. McCaffrey's been phenomenal. And then, you know, you look at the AFC side of things. Who would have thought Pittsburgh's offense, James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster haven't done much of anything? Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes. I'm loving what Austin Eckler was doing before Melvin Gordon got back for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and so is the Patriots offense. You can throw anybody in there and score points. But I think another thing that surprises how bad Joe Mixon's been. Outside of yesterday, Joe Mixon's been terrible. And, you know, it's just – and, of course, you know, Daniel Jones. There's been so many good and interesting storylines in the first 5 weeks of fantasy football. And up until yesterday, Dak Prescott was actually having one of the best seasons in the league until yesterday. And really, he did those 3 picks, but he did 460 yards last week. So, yeah, those have been my takes so far in fantasy. It's been fun. Now, you only have one team. I have 11. So
can we talk about the greatest misses? Meaning, I just want to talk about one player who I currently have, I'm currently a fan of. I mean, I've been supporting their team for more than the last 2 decades. Le'Veon Bell has been an utter disappointment, but solely not his fault, because I haven't seen a worse offensive line than the Jets in years.
I mean, Ted, the combination of offensive line, his quarterback is out with mono, and they're stacking, 10 in the box against him. They're down the third quarterback, you know, and it's the same situation Pittsburgh's going through. Like, you're now your third quarterback. Pittsburgh's our third quarterback now. And, you know, there's a certain quarterback that doesn't have a job right now that I know that can come right in and save both those teams.
Yeah, never going
to
happen.
I just said there's one quarterback out there. We're not going to mention any names. But, I mean, in the case of the Jets, that they'll get back Sam within the next couple of weeks. And, you know, they had wild card intentions and they had wild card dreams. But when your quarterback goes down and you're stuck in the box against a new running back that still hasn't played in over a year, it's going to, you know, make things different. But I think Le'Veon will pick it up. You know, Ted, he's been a notorious slow start over the years, and I don't think nothing changed. I think he picks it up once we get towards mid-October. I think he'll be fine. The Jets still will make the playoffs, though. Keep starting Le'Veon Bell every week, Ted. Keep starting him.
Hey, let's switch gears for a sec. We're both Met fans, Metapologists. If you are taking over the team from Freddie Coupons, meaning Freddie Wilpon, who is your next manager? Who's your next manager, and who's the backup just in case?
If I can't get Joe Madden, who is notorious known for winning everywhere he goes,
mm-hmm,
I would have to say it's Girardi. Girardi, then Beltran. I'm a big Joe Madden guy, and everywhere Joe Madden's been, they've won the World Series. So we're looking for the instant turnaround. Joe Madden's the guy to go get.
Right.
And if I'm spending if I'm spending any money, and that is, and the thing is, it's not like Joe Madden's not a proven winner. Where is Joe Madden not won?
It's true.
Joe Madden, you won in Tampa. You know, he didn't win a World Series in Tampa, but, I mean, with the restrictions he had in Tampa, for them to get as far as they did with that pitching staff and that team itself, that's enough by itself. And then, of course, he won the World Series in Chicago.
Before he went to Chicago, I wanted the Mets to go after him. And it wasn't a knock to TC. Love Terry Collins, but I was like, it's Joe Madden. He's only going to be available once every, 5 to 7 years.
Yep.
So, for me, I tell you, definitely number one is Girardi. Number two is Buck Showalter. Then
Ted,
I would go to...
Do you think Buck should still be a manager, though?
Well, so being up here, being in New York, is something special. I mean, not only is it expensive as hell, but being in New York, you get to hear a lot, you get to see a lot, and experience a lot also. And I listened to the interview on Steve Summers. Steve Summers does the overnight on WFAN. He had an interview with Buck Showalter. And the great thing about the interview was only like maybe 12 minutes. Because, nowadays people can only deal with bite-sized audio files and the like. Because the attention span is shot. But I will say this much. The question came down to, would a Girardi or would a Buck Showalter be able to deal with a team ownership and a front office that's going to meddle? And you tell me any time that Buck and Girardi would not be with this, but I think the league as itself has totally changed so that they have to conform themselves to operate like that. And it was just so strange. And I'm going to send you the interview. Because it was so strange listening to Buck Showalter say, hey, I would take information from the general manager. Because, I don't know if Brody Van Wagenen, it was known this past season that with Mickey Callaway that he called into the dugout while he was watching the game on TV.
Yes.
To make changes to, pull someone out the game to make suggestions for pitching. And I'm like, these guys are baseball guys, Maddens and Showalters and Girardi. But it seems like these guys are falling in line because number one, there's only 30 jobs like this in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just strange. I guess it kind of bothers me because I was having a conversation today about this. And I said, I don't know if this bothers me or not, that they're saying, I'm okay with this. I can work with ownership. I can work with the front office and the analytics team because, as we all know, the analytics, the nerds have destroyed baseball. They destroyed baseball. It's like, can a guy get to the fifth inning? Because I don't want him to see that lineup again for the third time. What if it happened to letting the guy throw 120 pitches?
Ted, because it's called injuries, and you know what? You don't want your guys getting hurt.
If you need Verlander to go out there and give you 8 or 9 innings on 130 pitches, you think there's an issue with that?
In September, no. In May, yes.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's fair. But I just want the Mets themselves to be competitive. Meaning, don't get a bargain basement manager for $850,000 a year.
We've done that enough.
Gonna do it. You know how that's going to end up.
Yeah, well, we've done this pretty bad.
We've done this before. Then,
we just did.
We just did it. Go fix your bullpen, okay? And make sure you have players. Stop it with all of these utility players playing in infield, outfield, you know. No. Put McNeil should be an everyday player. Put him at third base. Call it a day.
Or put him in left field somewhere.
Put him in left field. And if Dom Smith doesn't have a position, then he doesn't have a position. Try to get a piece or two for him. You know, that's what I kind of believe. And it's like, you look at a team like the Yankees, and everyone was ripping them during the trade deadline, and they wouldn't make that trade. They wouldn't give up the XYZ prospects. People were beating them up on the radio. I mean, it was nonstop Yankee fans calling in, losing their lunch, Danny. But look at them now. They're competing in the playoffs of 100-plus games last few seasons. I mean, they're in it to win it. So,
but honestly, Ted, can that Yankees team beat the Astros in the series?
I think it's highly doubtful, because good pitching always beats good hitting. Good pitching wins playoff games. And if you got a couple, it depends on how the lineup is put together. You can't put in a bunch of these home run hitters. You know how this is going to play out. Especially when you got an ultra-aggressive Verlander, who's like strike one, strike two. Like, he's just coming straight at you. Cole and, well, we saw Greinke get a little touched up today, but what were you about to say?
I mean, that's when Yankees have nothing but, you know, big-time home run hitters.
Right. You know, so we're going to see. We're going to see. This is Late Night Parents. We're talking with Danny Thompson. Danny, any expectations, and this is where I get to go local with you, any expectations with the Brooklyn Nets this year?
They'll be a competitive team until March.
Until March.
March will be the biggest decision of the entire season come March. Because that's when Kevin Durant has that ability to make his return. They've been saying he's going to miss the entire season, but he has not been ruled out for the official season. The Nets have a lot of talent everywhere. Now, they're going to miss Wilson Chandler for 25 games since he's suspended. Kevin Durant's out. If Kyrie Irving can allow Caris LeVert to grow into that second scorer, they have plenty of options. You have Joe Harris. You have Spencer Dinwiddie. You have Jared Allen. They have Ronny Kukoc. You have DeAndre Jordan. You got players everywhere. If the Nets can keep this thing afloat and stay in contention, Ted, I don't mean like first place, but if you hover around that 4-5 seed in the East, by mid-March, I think the biggest weapon at the trade deadline will show up in March, and that will be Kevin Durant. If the Nets can make a run for it, Durant shows up. If they end up as a 4 or 5, I see Kevin Durant showing up in the playoffs. Not playing 40 minutes tonight. Not playing 30 minutes tonight. They'll play him 15 to 20 minutes tonight. And just basically use him as he's on the court. You know what he can do. He's going to scare everybody in the Eastern Conference. They'll get out of round one. And if you end up with a matchup like Milwaukee can't guard Kevin Durant. If it's Philadelphia, it's going to be a hard time for Tobias Harris to guard Kevin Durant in the 7-game series. I mean, can you imagine if you get anybody else outside of Milwaukee or Philadelphia, you can beat those teams with Kevin Durant? If there's a champ, if they believe they can win a championship by mid-March, you'll see Kevin Durant come back. Otherwise, the Nets will be a solid team. They'll probably lose in the first round of the playoffs. But the most important thing is you're looking towards 2020. It really just depends on where you are by February to early March because that signals a 280-day mark for Kevin Durant, which is the average of the last 5 to 7 players that have come back from the Achilles injury in the length of time they were out.
Do you see them equaling that 42-40 record? Or, I mean, because, like I said, there's going to be a huge chunk of the season. Kevin Durant potentially won't be there. You know, and truthfully, he could be there. There's an option where he might not be there the entire season. But what I'm saying is, do you see them coming back 42-40? Do you see 45-37? Any projections for this upcoming season?
45-37 sounds about right.
Okay.
45 would sound right. Because they have talent. The East is weakened with Kawhi being out in L.A., so Toronto won't be in the top 4 this year.
Kevin Durant is a supernova.
We don't
get charged up. You get charged up when you saw Media Day. Him just taking pictures, not limping, no cast, no nothing, just there.
And that's the whole thing. I think with Toronto being weakened, Indiana doesn't know when Victor Oladipo is coming back. You're not sure Boston has, because Boston did lose a lot in the offseason, even though they got Kemba Walker. The only two things that you know are Milwaukee and Philadelphia. The East is up for grabs after that. So Boston, like I said, so Brooklyn can win 45 games and maybe finish that 5 or 6 spot, maybe that four, five, six spot area.
All right. I think that's fair. I guess we want to wrap things up, but I wanted to let the last topic be. I guess we've started the Wednesday Night Wars.
Yes.
I mean, it's AEW versus NXT, but it's really AEW versus WWE. We talked a little ratings offline. What are your thoughts on Wednesday Night Wars versus, I think for all being wrestling fans that we are, we're going to enjoy the hell out of this.
We are. Last Wednesday was the first time in a long time where it felt like you're going back and forth like it was the mid-90s. It felt like the Monday Night Wars all over again because you didn't want to miss what the other show was doing. AEW kicks off, and then you have NXT, the NXT title match between Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. Phenomenal match. Match ends, Finn Balor comes out. At the same time, AEW is going with Jericho and going with Jon Moxley. It was just so much to take in on both shows. And it's just going to raise each show's game even higher. And you're right, Ted. Yeah, it's not really, NXT is considered the third best show, because of what, Fox having SmackDown and Raw being on USA on Mondays. But I think NXT has been a superior product for a while anyway. You have the new show going against the superior product, and I think every Wednesday is going to be enjoyable. But after Sunday's Hell in a Cell, people are turning away from WWE, especially when they're matching that on Sunday.
Dude. Was there a more awful – I mean, so tell me, the genesis of it, because I know on Sunday I heard there were 4 matches. It was Sunday morning. I heard there were 4 sanctioned matches. I said, wait a minute. How is this only 4 sanctioned matches? What in the world is going on here? Then wound up 7 matches?
They added, 3 matches, midday Sunday. It was weird. Because the WWE press was saying, now, update card for Hell in a Cell. And I'm like, okay, where did all these matches come from? I mean, they added another title match. You had some tag team matches. I'm like, okay. This is what we're doing now, just trying to add shows on at the last second. But as far as the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view goes, it was a decent pay-per-view up until the main event. The way the Bray Wyatt-Seth Rollins match ended, which was weird because we've watched Hell in a Cell for years, and for him to end the match like that because of the referee stopping it because of an endangerment issue, that's just an insult to Mick Foley and The Undertaker for, Foley continued after being thrown off the cage. I mean, and that's how we remember Hell in a Cell.
What are your thoughts on AEW?
AEW is going to be interesting. The real question is, can they keep momentum? You know, they're having issues selling out dates. They sold the first couple of dates. They're having issues selling out and putting people in seats. I mean, their pay-per-view next month is not even sold out in Baltimore. I know a lot of it in Charlotte's not even halfway sold out. And they're not playing big venues, which is one of my biggest concerns about them touring in the very beginning, because I didn't think they were ready to tour yet. I still thought they were a little green, but hey, if that's how they feel, that's how they feel. I thought that touring this early was not a good thing. It was a very entertaining product, some spot botches, but for the most part, it was 2 hours. It was right in the right time frame. I think it was a very good job in the first week, but I want to see how much it's going to be sustainable going forward.
And you and I talked ad nauseum about this. 7,000 to 10,000, those are the seats, the stadiums that they need to be looking at. Nothing more than that. And to be truthful, the whole NXT Full Sail at 3 or 4, you know, maybe 5,000 seats, I think that's perfect. That's perfect for, and that way you're not stressing yourself. Like, I love the fact, and you've, that's right in your neck of the woods. I mean, I'm sure it's not a bad seat in the house at Full Sail.
Yeah, but good luck finding a ticket.
But that's okay. That's okay. But I'm sure you can get in there, and I'm sure they're selling tickets at a premium. But I just think, you know, it was great to see that, you know, 14,000 seats sold out. I just think that's you're pressing your product when you're trying to get it steady.
For the first show was great, you know, because it was a debut. But Ted, if you look at the first 10 dates they have, not one arena is over 10,000 seats. Only one. That's a show in West Virginia. It's the only show over 10,000 seats the first 6 to 7 weeks of AEW on the tour. And to your point, I think it's a perfect sweet spot. But I think NXT has it right more than AEW at this point. Everything is at Full Sail. There's no traveling costs because you're there most of the time.
You're there. That's your development center, right?
Yeah, it's right. It's right in the development center in the middle of Full Sail. So you're not spending money on touring. You're not spending money on traveling because guess what? All the wrestlers live in Orlando. You know, the production budget is not as big. You know, you don't have to go out there and do, you know, all this promoting because guess what? Every Wednesday night, there's 4,000 people waiting for tickets at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
Just to get a number, just so they can get tickets.
Let me get this straight. The tickets aren't sold in advance at Full Sail?
No, you have to get in line to get tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Ted, I said there's...
So they're generating their own buzz, is what you're telling me.
Ted, the simple fact of it's so easy and accessible. You know, your favorite word, Ted, accessible. It's easy and accessible, and all you have to do is stand in line for a general admission ticket.
Gotcha.
You pay your $20, that's it. And then once you get your wristband, is first come, first serve on seats.
So is $20 for me to sit front row or $20 for me to also sit in the last row?
I think it's in the first two rows. I think anything above the first two rows is $20 to get in.
Okay.
I mean,
so the seats aren't even numbered is what you're telling me.
It's everything is general admission. It's just by sections. So you get there, what do? You go find a seat. And Ted, to be honest with you, since it's on campus, it's kind of like the sound stage they used to have for WCW. They've got a bad sound. And they've added more seats.
and that's the feel. And that's the one thing I will say about NXT. When you have that smaller venue,
yep,
it's going to be packed. It's going to be loud. The audio is going to be pumped up. And, you know, everyone's going to be jacked. I like AEW. I really like what they've done this past 9 months, 10 months. I guess we could talk briefly about AEW Dark. Say it again.
I'm intrigued because it's the first time you get to see Dark matches. The matches you don't get to see on television. So I'm really interested to see how that is another part of AEW's development and growing. I like the concept. I do. Because you're giving more TV time to people who don't get TV time. So I like it.
And I think you and I were talking right after the show debuted. We were talking about the third hour. The potential third hour. And I think I was at football practice and you and I were talking. And I think the idea of the third hour, but not the conventional way, definitely works. But like you said, it does take away that dark idea. I like the fact that with AEW, they'll stream, like, for past cards, they'll stream live on Twitter or,
yep,
you know, Facebook and I just think that third hour prior to the 8 p.m. Eastern standard start time is the way to go. Because I think that 10 o'clock, like, I like the 8 to 10. 8 to 10 is a nice sweet spot for your sponsors and we all see how everyone's getting creative with their sponsor and products now. It's kind of like a picture-in-picture, like a second screen option where you're still seeing the action, but, you know, the screen itself is split to the point where you're seeing whatever product is being pushed for that, 10 or 15 or 30-second clip. But I like the fact of a third hour prior, making it 7 to 8, showcase that upcoming talent.
Or the AEW After Dark idea.
Yeah, or AEW After Dark, where you can say, hey, straight on YouTube, hey, our live show is on Tuesday, on Wednesdays. This is going to be on Thursday or Fridays.
I think as far as being a fan goes, especially with it being on a Wednesday night, and also being a parent, and Ted, you could agree with this because you have a son that watches wrestling too, is just that, what happens if I want to take my kids to go see AEW? And it's Wednesday night, and we're talking a three-hour show, a conventional three-hour show. With transit and traffic, this turns into midnight, maybe even 12:30, and my kids got to go to school next day.
And Danny, I told you the story. We went to go see Monday Night Raw at Nassau Coliseum. The show started at 7:30. Again, dark match didn't end until 11:30. We get home 11:45-ish. I mean, I didn't send them to school the next day. I didn't send them to school because, number one, he was still so charged up that when he got home, couldn't wind them down.
Nope.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess everything calls for earlier start times. I mean, they did it with baseball. They've done it with – they're doing it with the NBA this season, with the West Coast games. I don't know. I mean, it's a certain demographic you don't want to lose. You got that 18 to 49 sweet spot that everyone – is hungry for. But hey, I'm really excited about Wednesday Night Wars. I like how, you know, Monday night, from Monday night to, you know, it seems like it's spread all across the week now, you know. So I guess the last thing to say to you is, so let's say you're not AEW and you're not WWE. What about all these other secondary and tertiary agencies out there? You know, does Ring of Honor still get love? Does AAA still get love? Impact?
Yeah.
GCW? I mean, we hear about them, but we don't hear about them as much. I mean, how come more of them aren't just banding together, Danny? Pooling their resources together. We talk about this for years. Pooling your resources together, putting together the best possible card, spanning across multiple agencies. Is it all about the dollar?
Of course it is. That's the most important thing, Ted. Everything is, like what we say earlier about the Wu-Tang Clan, cash was everything around me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, man. It's. I think that's what the fan needs. The fan should be happy. I don't know. So what's on your docket for the rest of the week, Danny?
Man, oh, man, it's NBA preseason. The Magic tip off their preseason home schedule on Friday night against the Boston Celtics and Kemba Walker, a good friend of around the association, one of the best guys in around the league, and also the return of Taco Fall, former UCF Golden Knight, is now trying to make the Celtics. So it's going to be a great atmosphere on Friday night. Sunday, the Sixers are here. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and the crew will be here for their preseason game here in Orlando. On top of that, we're starting back the podcast on Monday because the preseason will just be getting close to the end. Around the association, about to start picking up with content. I'm starting to feel better coming back off my cruise, so I'm able to start posting more content NBA-wise. Check out my NFL work on 3pointconversion.com for everything NFL-related for myself. And you know, like I said, Ted, just trying to – it's the time of year where basketball's tipping off, kind of the same way where people love the pumpkin spice from Starbucks. It's my time of year.
We'll definitely have you come back and we could talk Lakers and West Coast and, you know, is it over for the Warriors? You know,
if you watch that thing Saturday, you would think the same thing.
They kind of look like a wrap. And I wanted to ask you, you know, next time, how long before the implosion happens with Westbrook and...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyberstation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyberstationusa.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.